You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question. Get off our back. We're in first place. Does Art have a point?
No.
No. Okay, I was waiting for you to say that.
I was, well, because I was briefly checking on apparently a very contentious presser with Jim Harbaugh, which was funny because it was the kind of thing that would never happen with the Steelers, not because the media doesn't ask these questions, but because Mike Tomlin would just basically, like, not answer. I think Jerry's essential being the emissary for Art's opinions and giving you the peek behind the curtain at this is what the most powerful guy with the organization thinks. It's just very disheartening because I think Art misses the mark. I think Art does not either realize, or maybe it would be more troubling if he didn't realize it at all, if he chooses not to acknowledge that most fans' problem or main problem with the team is that part about it, how boring it is. Like, the football that they're playing is not all that exciting a lot of the times, and just how stale the product on the field, how very consistent and not in a good way it has been for so many years. It's such a myopic thing, Pony, to be the owner and say, you sound like Mr. Burns. We're in first place, Smithers. Why are they angry? Like, people know that this team, if they get in, even in a year where the Chiefs might miss and the AFC looks wide open, is still very close to drawing dead like they are most years when they get in. And there's been a Mahomes and Allen, even a Jackson now we've seen beat them in the playoffs. If the owner really just, it's as binary to him as, hey, we're in first place. Why would people not be okay with that? Then it just tells me that he doesn't get it. It creates this clear, there's a clear divide between the guy with all the power to make all the decisions and the changes and reality. Like, it would tell me that he's, despite all we hear, one of our guests coming up in a half hour, Mike Florio, always insists Art is way more involved with football processes and decision making than he lets on.
Yeah.
That he's got his fingers very much in the pie, that he's very hands on. It would suggest then that a very hands on owner is just twiddling his thumbs and whistling because the team is in first place. Art, they're 7-6. They're 3-5 in their last 8 games, man. Like, it's they beat their hated arch rivals. It's still not trending that good over the last 2 months. Most people who, like, cover the team nationally in a way that doesn't put them on ESPN, i.e., like, not the Mike Greenbergs, like the national podcasters and just the people who actually are watching the games every week keenly, because that's what they do. Do you want to know what they say about the Steelers? They basically treat them like a team not worth mentioning because it's so stale. Because it looks so retrograde, because it's so uninspiring to watch week in, even when they win. They specialize in the feel-bad win a lot of the times because it leaves you like going, Why couldn't this have been easier? Why couldn't this have been better? If Art really is just focused on, hey, we're in first place, what more do people want?
Hold on. It's deeper than that. It's not just in first place. It's in first place since week one.
Yes.
Implying that they've been a good team all year.
Yeah, that just is so, what would that be? Is that missing the forest for the trees then? Is that just, I don't know. Probably isn't the right saying for this. It just tells me that the owner does not have a very long-term view of this. That he almost owns the team and evaluates the team truly. Because I don't do this. I don't think you do either. On like a week-to-week basis. You know what I mean? Hey, they won this week. They're good. They lost this week. Okay. But have they won more than they lost? Cool. It's disheartening because I would wish that he was a little more plugged in and a little more keen about, like, at least publicly or at least through Jerry, about what he's seeing.
But if he does like allude to some level of frustration, then he's going to make it seem like, you know, he's going to make it look like he's not doing his job, because a lot of fans are smart enough, and we've heard from them for years, who blame Art more than they do Mike. So if he tells Jerry, you know, in some backroom way, like quiet way, like, yeah, we are not meeting expectations. This has been a frustrating year. Mm-hmm. Then he knows that's a reflection on him.
So you think this is a little bit of ass covering here too?
Yeah.
That's even, but like.
Because he wants to look good. Well, he wants to make himself feel better.
But he hasn't also taken any of the kind of actions that would suggest, Pony, that in public he's going to say, or through Jerry, get out the word that, hey, this is how I feel, and then in private act a different way, right? Because like, if theoretically, if he doesn't want to look bad and have egg on his face, couldn't he have Jerry kind of answer this question the exact way he did, which is like what we think Art feels about this team, but then make some real moves in the offseason?
Yeah, but it always comes back to they prioritize coach and Mike. And now with everything else that's gone on and everything else that's changed, if you have another bad year or you keep stacking bad years, then that means at some point you have to fire Mike, and he doesn't want to do that. So he has to lie to himself and say, well, these are actually good years, because then there's no impetus or there's no point in like questioning the job the coach is doing. So what I'm saying is you really have to move the goalposts to define what good is. And if you can talk yourself into or convince yourself that, yeah, you know, as long as we're in first place for this many weeks or this many months,
that's good.
A good year, then you're not going to want to move on from
your coach or make wholesale changes. It's funny, Brian in the YouTube comments, do you know why Art doesn't care? Because he's busy looking at spreadsheets of overseas and online merch sales. Doesn't need his fans here anymore. The Steelers are a global brand. Would he say, I'm a little curious. You mentioned and you made it a point to stress that he pointed out that it was wire to wire so far. Although briefly, I guess technically the Ravens would have won the division if the season ended after 12 games. So he's not even right about that. Donnie.
But they were in first place the whole time.
And
were
tied for it record-wise, right. Yes. Would he say that the Texans have had a worse season than the Steelers because they started so poorly? He would have said, oh, you know, I could understand. 0-3 is pretty bad. Is that how he's judging this, really?
Or would he look at the Seahawks, who are in second place, even though they have a better record, and say they're not a first-place team like the Steelers, and not winning their division?
I could say that same thing about Houston, too, with the record. Or the Chargers. No, the Chargers beat the Steelers, though. Apparently that would make them. The Bills, I guess they're having a worse season, even though they came in here and put the beat down on the Steelers that precipitated all this stuff.
Like, there is a small, like, when I say small, I'm going to emphasize small. Mm-hmm. There is a very small part of me that does sort of get where he's coming from. You're not a bad team. If the playoffs started today, you'd host a playoff game. That's not the end of the world. That's not sky is falling. That's not sign of the football apocalypse. It's none of those things. But it's also like,
they're it's also one game not, be- you're also one not game like better a Super than 500. Bowl
yeah, they're one. They're one game better than 500. If this were a baseball team, we'd be talking about like an 84-win team. That's not a great team.
I would love to be able to frame a question properly to get Jerry to answer it, knowing that he would answer, like if the question was about Art, and knowing Jerry would probably ask him if he felt it was newsworthy and getting an answer. Art, Do you think your team is a Super Bowl contender, your first place team? Because if the answer back to that was, well, right now, if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs. And so, yes, I feel that makes us a Super Bowl contender. That would sort of drive the stake through or drive the final nail in and make me think, okay, he truly doesn't know or doesn't care or does, or option C, just doesn't want to knows, but doesn't want to acknowledge what he's actually looking at. There are going to be 14 teams in the playoffs this year. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say probably six of them can win the Super Bowl realistically without like some acts of God happening. One of them, maybe two, might be in the AFC. And then there's like eight teams that are probably functionally here cannon fodder. If the Steelers do get in, they're cannon fodder. How could you possibly Also, here's another question for you, open-ended. Do you think Art watches the rest of the league? You sit and you watch condensed games. I try to watch as many condensed games as I can. I throw Red Zone on. I'll try to get as much football as I can on a given Sunday. And even after that, because I want to see what other teams look like.
Yeah.
Do you think that he is doing that?
I hope so. He owns a team.
I know.
He should watch Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football every week.
But hold on.
Yes, I
want to
believe he does.
You understand why I ask, because I think it would beggar belief that a man who I do think is smart, I don't think you can, even though he was born into this family, I don't think Art's a dumb guy at all.
He owns a piece of the product. He should want to watch his business on TV.
I can't imagine that a smart guy would be invested enough to watch other teams, good teams, play and say to himself, yeah, we're in like the basic same conversation and stratosphere as those teams.
Oh, Donnie has a correction here. Go ahead, Don.
So I don't know if Amanda Godsey, I don't know if either of you guys follow her on Twitter. I don't know if she's listening to this conversation right now, but she did point out something that I think is good for the conversation and the puffing the chest out as to being in first place the entire year. That is factually incorrect, and it doesn't have to do with the Ravens. The Bengals started the season 2-0. The Steelers began 1-1.
That's right.
Very nice. Thank you, Amanda, for that.
That's right. People forget the Bengals were 2-0 because in that second game, Burrow got hurt.
And even people forget that, bro.
It felt like a loss. That's when Browning came in and beat the Jags.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Donnie, what do you make of Art pretty much saying to Jerry, Steelers fans shouldn't complain about being a first-place team? Do you agree with that?
I mean, it just goes in line with how the family has felt, how his brother Jim came, you know, or he went on, what was it, Ross Tucker last year or something, and talked about the whole being above the mean thing. It's just so on brand. And I get if you want to point to this individual season and say that, yeah, I can see his point. I can see where he's coming from. But the problem isn't that. It's the fact that we can see where this season is very likely going. And even though they may win the division for the first time in 5 years, it is very likely to end in the same fashion.
It's also, you guys, just two quick things here. On that front, it's also he misses the beauty contest element of this, like where people say the CFP sometimes is a beauty contest. That's why teams try to blow other teams out. Like if you're staggering into it, you might not make it. It's also a beauty contest when you're evaluating like division contenders right now. Like that's what you're doing as an NFL fan. Who actually looks good enough to win this thing? Here's the other thing, though. Don't you guys think that it's a little it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. The whole Rooney lore and what'll get put out there by national media, by everybody, is they're different than other ownerships, ship groups. It's not like a faceless conglomerate. It's not some random billionaire who parachuted into a particular town that they have no connection to and bought the team. You know what I mean? Like there's this familial aspect to it that you hear some players talk about. It's different. It might not always be awesome, but it's different. They actually seem to care here. I thought that was supposed to extend to the relationship with the city and with fans. And it's there's a little bit of almost finger wagging. How could you be this ungracious and have this level of ingratitude as a fan base that I find really pretty distasteful given what
you know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Image they try to cultivate.
It's time for the Fan versus the Fans. Call in now and flex your intellectual muscle. 412-928-9370. Show the guys how much you know by stumping them with a trivia question that will bring them to their knees and cause their sports minds to explode.
I do get a kick out of that every time I hear it.
That's like the Wilhelm scream at the end there? Yeah.
It's $25 gift card to Rival. By the way, you can also listen to Starkey, Pomp, Austin, Donnie, Kabali on certain days, and hear about the card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon, the 937thefan.com contesting page. DK Metcalf card was in there today because of his breakout performance against the Ravens.
Is there going to be a Gregory Soto card coming somebody's way next time?
I think I'd rather have a Gregory Polanco card. Is he still playing Japanese baseball?
Yeah, I think he's still ripping it up out there, too.
I'm surprised he hasn't come back here. Some team looks at a crazy home. Maybe he hasn't played that well there. I don't know.
I think he's played decently.
But a lot of guys go over there and tear it up, and then
who's the one
teams
dude,
get tricked into thinking they can be good big leaguers.
Who was
again.
The one dude from the Reds? This is kind of a warm-up for Fan versus the Fans, who couldn't really make it happen here. Was it like Vladimir Ballantyne or something like that? There was some dude who I think had a cup of coffee with the Reds, and then he went to Japan and just started hitting like 490-foot taters all the time. Became like a legend over there. I think he has the single-season home run record.
Are you thinking about Tuffy Rhodes?
No.
Because I know Tuffy Rhodes is like the all-time
Japanese single-season home run record. Vladimir Ballantyne, 60. Tuffy Rhodes only hit 55 in 2001.
Oh, geez. My bad. All right, let's get to some of our calls here. I'm sure some people have some thoughts on Art too. Beginning with Mike. Hello, Mike.
How you doing? Yeah, we are a little spoiled, but I work with a guy that's a Cleveland fan. He's grown up in Cleveland. He lives in East Liverpool.
Yeah.
When we lost the other day, 2 weeks ago, I walked in. I'm like, how do you deal with this? He's like, you guys don't know how good you got it. That's
that
all team I
has
say.
That franchise has won a playoff game more recently than the Steelers because it was against
the
Steelers.
Yeah, man, that's not the point. He's like, I've been living like this my whole life. Come on, man. They won a playoff game. Please.
Mike, do you compare the Steelers to the Browns? Mike?
Come on.
Yeah. If it cheers you up and makes you feel better in life that you are better than the worst person at your job, great. But who aspires for that to be that? We're better than the Browns. Okay. Awesome.
Also, there's two different kinds of hell here, real quick, NFL hell. The Browns can't get out of their own way. They do a lot of embarrassing things and, like, I think for a lot of people, distasteful things, like with giving Watson that contract. That's bad. Here is the thing, though. Hope is like a drug for any sports fan. They're so bad most years, and I realize they don't ever get it right, it seems, that they always have a pick near the top of the draft, so there's always that, okay, here's the next carrot to dangle in front that might work this time. Steelers fans don't even have that. You're dealing with a very stale franchise that, by virtue of the fact that it can never seem to go worse than 9-8,
I know,
will always pick middle late of the first round.
I know, but I would still rather have that than the existence of being a Browns
fan. Let's not call, like, this fine, fair. Let's not call the Steelers' problems first-world NFL problems, though. It's like second-world at best. The Browns are third-world NFL problems. They got it bad. The Steelers don't exactly have it good. They're now in the NFL's mushy middle. Pick whatever group of about 7 or 8 teams you want to lump in with them, but that's where they are most years.
Jack is next. Hello, Jack.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Seems like the last 2 weeks you guys have been doing nothing but complaining about the Steelers, and believe me, I get it. And maybe there's someone out there better than Tomlin, but I kind of agree with the last caller. I mean, you know, compared to what we have as Pirates fans and even Penguins fans the last few years,
Hold on a second. To compare the Steelers to the Pirates is ridiculous because one sport is capped and the other isn't. So to me, like, if you get out of bed in the morning and you say, well, at least the Steelers aren't the Pirates, that's not a very good thing to hang your hat on. One's a small market baseball team and the other is in a sport where, all things considered, it should be equal. You should never go almost 10 years without winning a playoff game.
I guess that's fair. I hear you on that. Same time, we got a shot here. We got, who knows, maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on, Jack. Do you genuinely feel like they have a chance to do something if they win the division?
A shot at what?
Like, yeah, what's the shot at here?
Well, I mean, if Philip Rivers does what they think he'll do, maybe they get in and we play them first round and there's your win, and then who knows what happens after that. I'm not saying they're going to win at all, but I could see them making it to the AFC Championship.
Jack, if Philip Rivers played well enough to get the Colts into the playoffs and the Steelers saw them in the first round, I wouldn't feel good about facing that version of Philip Rivers because he would probably be playing better than most of the quarterbacks in the AFC at that point.
God bless him. If he can pick up a ball at 45 and get him to the playoffs.
Without making this any more argumentative than it already is, because I don't really think it needs to be between the three of us, but just out of sheer curiosity, how many years in a row would the Steelers need to not win a playoff game before you called in and said, you know what, your complaints are actually justified? Because we're at 8. How many more do we need before we're allowed to bitch and you're like, you know what, these guys have a point?
Yeah, maybe 2 more, maybe 10. I don't know. Like I said, I'm much
10.
More a baseball fan than a football fan, I've been suffering through the Pirates for how many years, right? But I mean,
but it's two very different 10. Kinds of suffering, as Pony pointed out. The Pirates is an existential thing because of the nature of the sport. The Steelers should not be this mediocre for this long.
Right. I guess my question is, you know, if we get rid of Tomlin, right? We at least we have generally winning seasons. You know, what if it's worse? You know, do we trust the Rooneys to hire another 20-year guy to, it could be horrible, you know?
Thank you.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't want them to hire another 20-year guy because it seems like the cap for most coaches in most places is about 10.
Johnny is next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. Hey, dude, what Dulac just wrote, dude, isn't just discouraging. It's disturbing.
And Dulac, to put that out, is he an idiot? I have no opinion on Dulac. I just know when I used to follow Pittsburgh a lot 10 years ago, he was around more. But for him to put that out so ignorantly, the level of ignorance.
No, we lost
him. But he's putting out there, he talks to the owner, he's got the best connection to the guy at the very top of the mountain. He is answering that question in a way that that I think very accurately reflects the owner's feelings on the team.
I actually now think it's funnier that it's not even factually accurate. That actually, that part now.
Well, that gives credence to my thought that he's not watching the NFL as closely as he needs
How dare you complain about a team that's been in first place the whole year? Oh, wait, they haven't been? All right, well, how dare you complain about a team that's in first place for most of the year and in first place now?
I'm going to go back to my broad, big picture point there. I for the image they try to cultivate locally and how they want to be viewed, especially separate from the way other owners operate, I just think it's a bad look to lecture your fans like this in the form of an answer like that. Or in the one we actually played where he basically said, isn't this good enough? He did the Russell Crowe. Are you not entertained?
Sleazy is next. Hello, Sleazy.
Hello, gentlemen. I have a question for you.
All right. Which one of us?
We'll go with Pony. I've got a feeling this is a very mid-tier question. I'm calling just to feel you guys out before we get to the real questions at a later date.
Okay.
So
you're softening up the target here?
Go ahead.
This has only happened once in NFL history. A player has thrown an interception and caught an interception in the same game. Name that player.
I like this question, actually. It's random enough. I think it's quirky.
Thrown an interception and caught an interception in the same game?
Yes.
I got two names in my head right now.
Donnie, do you have any ideas?
All right. This is my guess here because I think you're trying to localize it. So my guess is Tony Dungy.
That is correct. Well done.
Thank you.
You are a sick, not you, Sleazy. Pony.
Goodbye, Sleazy.
Sleazy, you don't win.
Come back with harder questions next time.
You knew that one.
The only other guy I thought about was Sammy Baugh, who I think did that a lot.
I think it's weird college, that you just were like, he's not, probably localizing.
The guy's
it.
Not going to call in and bring up Sammy Baugh. Like
you ever
that.
Hear Sleazy Deezy's, Delta Zetas, back in school?
Don't know what any of that means.
It's a sorority, and they called themselves the Sleazy Deezy's.
They gave themselves that nickname?
I knew Delta Zetas who called themselves Sleazy Deezy's. I think it was supposed to be kind of like fun, but... I mean, I would have think that would have perked up a 19-year-old Andrew Filippone. Ooh, what's that now? Well,
based on my Facebook activity back then, yes.
You'd have been sending out the mass mailer to all those sleazy deezies.
Craig is next. Hello, Craig.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
I'm just calling to say, so I'm a Arizonian, so I've watched the Cardinals a lot out here, too. And just seeing them makes me a little more appreciative of the Steelers. I do think it's about time for Tomlin, though. He's had a little too long. Things just run stale. He runs stale. And they just need to get a fresh body, preferably offensive-minded guy.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Look, I mean, I do think if you are a Browns fan and you find out that Steelers fans are bitching about a first-place team, you think it's weird or you think it's wrong. Because we haven't won a Super Bowl since 08, the fact that in Philadelphia today, they're saying we need to get rid of Jalen Hurts a year after he won Super Bowl MVP, and maybe our coach, Nick Sirianni, is not the right guy for the job. That feels like they're going overboard. That's an extreme opinion. But that, I don't know. You know,
I think there's only a handful of teams in the league that have been so consistently bad for the most part that you would say it could be worse. I would say Browns, Raiders. I'm not even sure I'd say Cardinals. They've competed. They've been relevant. I like this from Jack, who just said in response to the whole new head coach idea, when people say, cautionary tale, could be bad.
Mm-hmm.
A new head coach may not win a Super Bowl, but it's guaranteed right now that Tomlin will not. And that you can't ever guarantee something like that. But I feel like that's an accurate statement. I absolutely think that's relevant.
All right, Mike Florio going to join us next. I guess we'll have to give away that gift card next time. No winners this week. First time that's happened.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
All right, Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
One quick note, Pony. I referred to Delta Zetas that I knew that referred to themselves as sleazy deezies.
Yeah, you found one in our
chat. Who pops out of the woodwork, but Jim Colony to say that his lovely wife, Linda, the least sleazy person I have probably ever met, was a deezy, and that they did not refer to themselves as such. So I guess
she's still making those Christmas cookies?
I believe so.
Yeah. Those are always a big hit around the office this time.
Linda is like the nicest human being on the planet. Anyway.
Do you have a favorite Christmas cookie?
Snickerdoodle, I always associate with Christmas. Is that not really a Christmas cookie?
I think it's a cookie for all seasons.
Okay, well, you know those ones that people make that are those little like droplet-looking ones with like the anise on them?
Pizzelles or whatever they're called? Pizzelles?
No, Pizzelles are like the flat ones. These are like little drops. I think they're more of a Russian, if you have like Russian ancestry.
I don't think I've ever had those before.
But, so like when you say Christmas cookie, you're just talking a shortbread cookie that has like icing on it?
Yeah.
I think those are kind of fugazi, as you would like to say. Give me the chocolate chips, the oatmeal raisins, and the snickerdoodles, the holy trinity.
Mike Florio back with us. Pro Football Talk brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. I can see Mike eating a lot of those Italian Christmas cookies, like the rainbow-colored ones.
Oh, I know those, yeah.
The ricotta cookies are a big hit.
What is the best Italian Christmas community cookie, Mike? Or what is the best Christmas treat, in your opinion?
You're giving me a flashback. My mom made the funkiest, nastiest Christmas cookies, and I think because she knew I would have eaten the entire collection of them in one sitting if she made stuff I like. That's my warm, fuzzy Christmas memory. My mom would spend all weekend baking, and I thought every single cookie she made was gross. However, there was a great story, neighborhood story. A friend of my mom's down the street was having a Christmas party and asked my mom to make a tray of her cookies. And like they were this huge hit, and the woman who hosted the party claimed she made the cookies, and that got back to my mom, and it was like a sitcom plot line, and it was a big, ugly, nasty mess, and that was great.
I feel fantastic. Like I can hear, as you tell that story, the Curb Your Enthusiasm music playing, Mike.
That is good stuff. Well, Mike, before we get into a lot of the Steelers stuff, I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room, and that's a 44-year-old quarterback from Ben Roethlisberger's draft class signing with the Colts, Phillip Rivers. And a lot of the NFL media people seem to think he's actually going to start and play against Seattle this week. What's your understanding of what's going on there with him?
The timeline with how this all unfolded and the fact that the Colts didn't have a veteran behind Daniel Jones. They had rookie Riley Leonard and well-traveled for a reason, Brett Rypien. Jones exits Sunday with a season-ending injury. They bring in Rivers the next day. I think the moment Anthony Richardson, their first-round pick a couple of years ago, was lost for so far 8 weeks and counting due to a freak accident in the locker room with an exercise band, fractured an orbital bone. I think they decided then, you know what, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to make a trade. They had 3 weeks in the trade deadline still. And the emergency option, if Daniel Jones goes down, is call Phillip Rivers. Shane Steichen has known him for years. They apparently had been regularly in touch. That was their plan. And it was one of those things when the tweets started to come out, I thought somebody got hacked. I checked to make sure it wasn't one of those accounts where they just changed one letter, like an L to a 1 or something like that. I think there's no way Phillip Rivers is coming back. But I think he is going to play this weekend. They don't have to tell us, and they're not going to tell us, but I think they'll elevate him from the practice squad. The Browns did this with Joe Flacco a couple of years ago. He was their QB1. He wasn't even on the roster. Elevate him from the practice squad and let him play, and they're going to try to salvage their season. And good luck. They could get Peyton Manning in his prime, and this upcoming four-pack games, the Seahawks, the 49ers, the Jaguars, and the Texans, is going to be a tall order for the Colts to win. But, you know, they're rolling out the emergency option, and we'll see what happens.
If Phillip Rivers plays even like above average football and gets the Colts to the playoffs, should he win comeback player of the year?
He's already installed at third at most of the major sports books in the odds making, and it'll drive the AP crazy. They clarified the comeback player of the year standard last year. They claim it wasn't a reaction to the DeMar Hamlin situation. I tend to think it was. But it's supposed to go to somebody who overcomes some sort of adversity, typically injury related to prior year. There's no adversity whatsoever that Phillip Rivers is overcoming other than not playing. But I think he'll get some votes. Joe Flacco showed up very late in 2023, and he did enough taking the Browns to the playoffs to win it. I think if the Colts get to the playoffs, you're going to have people voting for Phillip Rivers. And it goes five deep. He'll be one of the five on all 50 ballots if he takes the team to the playoffs.
Mike, Jerry Dulac in a Post-Gazette chat was asked about Art Rooney's awareness that Steelers fans are not really pleased with the product that's been on the field this year. And Jerry's response was that he talks to Art frequently, and then said about fan anger and apathy that it probably doesn't register with the owner because they're one of only three teams that have been in first place since week one. Now, that's actually not accurate. The Steelers were not in first place in week two. But the point being, the owner is pretty much telling his favorite media mouthpiece that Steelers fans shouldn't complain about a team that's, for the most part, been in first place all year. What's your take on that, that the owner still believes that everything that's gone on here this year is fine and dandy?
I think it's ridiculous to act like the Bills game didn't happen, that the Fire Tomlin chance didn't occur, that the booing during Renegade wasn't real. Now, they're fortunate they won because it would have been an ugly mess on Monday night if they had lost to the Ravens or had looked as bad as they did the week before. But if this thing goes off the rails Monday night against the Dolphins, who knows what kind of chance we're going to hear? Who knows how loud it's going to be? But if the owner is just living in some delusional dream world, that's not good for anybody. Like, the owner's got to be as plugged in as anyone, and maybe he's just trying to speak that reality into existence, that the fans just sit down and shut up because the team's in first place. I'd love to think at some level he isn't completely missing the point here. You've got to have your finger on the pulse of the fan base. And after that Bills game, during that Bills game, the fan base was as close to torches and pitchforks as they've been in years.
How much of it, Mike, do you think could be that Art doesn't want to self-implicate in any kind of public way here? Because, I mean, you've told us many times, I think you're like the biggest believer or biggest advocate of the idea that he is very involved in what they do, even though they try to obscure the level of involvement. And Pony floated the theory that he's not going to say something to Jerry Dulac about, yeah, you know, it hasn't been the season we've wanted, because that would just be pointing the finger back at himself for many of their ills.
Yeah, that's a good point. But if the owner is going to be involved in anything, it's knowing when it's time to make a coaching change. Even the most non-meddling owner is going to be involved when the fan base is on the verge of a revolt and something needs to be done in the best interest of the team. So I think it's more of a PR pep talk aimed at getting the fans to view the glass as half full, not half empty or more than half empty and, you know, evaporating quickly. It all comes down to whether or not they make the playoffs and they successfully kick the can to next year, or they win, what do they need, 2 out of the last 3, and it's the 22nd straight non-losing season, an NFL record. I think that is where it all comes down to, and they're in a position after winning last week that they can manage to go 2-2 and finish 9-8.
Mike, the officiating decisions in Sunday's game, how much of those were egregious enough or questionable enough based on more so the rule book maybe in the likely case than anything? Like, was that a big enough spotlight on a game where we could actually see the NFL make changes off of what happened in Steelers-Ravens this past weekend?
This whole thing is fascinating because there were 3 very controversial calls. The league's already admitted privately to the Ravens, but authorized them to say so, that the roughness call on the field goal that came off the board and became a touchdown on the next play, that was a penalty that shouldn't have been called. That was a mistake. That was encouraging that they did that. As it relates to both the likely non-catch and the Aaron Rodgers, air quotes, catch that should have been an interception, it really opens Pandora's box on two separate things. One, the proper application of the catch rule that we thought the NFL had figured out. In one fell swoop, they reintroduced confusion into something that we thought was settled. And my understanding is, from talking to someone who understands very thoroughly and intimately how this process works, what happened was, you know, when they changed the rule the last time and seemingly fixed it, one of the things they added was, if you get a third step down, you have sufficiently completed the process. That whole football move thing was something that had caused all sorts of confusion, going back to the Dez Bryant catch that was reversed on replay review, and that should not have been, in other confusing situations. That third step now is the thing. It's undeniable. We don't have to try to figure out, did the guy tuck the ball? Did he ward off an opponent? Did he extend the ball? We don't have to look at any of that. The third step, that's it. It's done. Here's the problem. They're focused on the third step now, and they're forgetting all the other stuff. Because I think if we look at it objectively, if we take off the fan hat and we just look at it, Isaiah Likely extended the ball and he attempted to ward off the opponent, and he had enough time to make a football move in the end zone. That should have been a catch. Rodgers was going to the ground when he had his hands on the ball. If you're going to the ground, you have to survive the act of going to the ground. He didn't. The ball was taken away from him. That should have been an interception. And here's the bigger problem. Replay review is ignoring the standard, the clear and obvious standard. The league office has gone rogue, and they are overturning calls without giving the deference that the replay standard requires. Both of the rulings on the field, one was interception, one was touchdown. There wasn't clear and obvious evidence to overturn those calls. That's a separate problem that the league needs to address. So I don't know where this goes from here, but they have made this thing much more confused, much more convoluted. And now going forward, who the hell knows what is and isn't a catch, and who knows what they're going to do on replay review, because clear and obvious has quietly exited the building.
Mike, one other curious thing that got football fans nationally in an uproar, and I know the NFL is acutely aware of how many people gamble on the sport and how much money changes hands. This Pete Carroll decision to kick a field goal
when the game
was unbelievable,
was quite literally over, down 24-14, there is no mathematical way, there's no physically possible way the Raiders can win. He kicks a field goal that both covers the spread and hits the over and swings massive amounts of money in two separate directions based on what people bet. I would what is the NFL's maybe stance that you're aware of on stuff like that? Because you can make an easy argument. There's absolutely no reason to do anything other than heave a ball towards the end zone at least, but certainly not just kick a field goal so you only lose by seven.
I need to go back and watch the end of that game because I think there's some plausible argument to be made that if there's one tick left on the clock, you get an onside kick, you got a chance for a Hail Mary, but it's a 0.00001% shot.
No, the kick was attempted, I believe, when there were only like 3 seconds left. So I thought all the time rolled off after. Yeah, yep. The game was over.
Yeah, there was not a play after that field goal. It was over.
Here we go. This is what the NFL has accepted for itself. In 2012, when the NFL hated gambling, the commissioner said, if you have widespread legalized gambling, normal incidents of the game will be viewed by some as evidence that the fix is in. Things that are normal, things that happen all the time, we're going to think, wait a minute, something's up here. This is a prime example of something that is going to cause people to say something's up. And when they realized how much money they could make off of gambling, they ignored what Goodell said 13 years ago. They act like he never said it, and they just keep their head in the ground. Anytime something like this comes up, they just completely and totally ignore it and weather the storm and wait for the next bright, shiny object to distract us from that thing. And they're lucky it happened in a game that very few people were paying attention to. Bears-Packers was happening. The Raiders aren't a competitive team. If that had been a primetime game or one of those 425 games with two playoff teams, it would have been a much bigger mess. This is a prime example of what happens when you jump into bed with gambling. Stuff that otherwise wouldn't be viewed as a big deal, people are going to say something was going on here. And in all places, it happened in Las Vegas, where they never would have allowed a team. They never would have entertained playing football. That was where they shut down a fantasy football convention Tony Romo was going to hold at a hotel that didn't even have a casino in it.
Yep.
Yeah. So they have dramatically. I mean, I thought when the NFL decided to do business with sports books, the commissioner would resign because the things he had said in the past were completely and totally irreconcilable with this new reality. But they just ignored it. It's a great PR play. They just ignored it and they kept going. And very few people ever say boo about it.
Mike, thanks so much. Go make some Christmas cookies. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.